What is up, Internet? Chad, Andy, and Steve sitting around for another episode of the No Excuses Podcast, the Teamability No Excuses Podcast, pardon me. As we get ready today, first of all, how's the week been? All good? No problems? Issue-free?
Sir, that was a thumbs up for me.
Steve forgot you can't see this. Just air thumbed up. It was an air thumbs up. My week has been great, other than the snow. I'm gonna save that for the offside moment though later, because I'm ready to vent about winter in Hamilton. Although it's getting a little bit better. It's less crappy outside.
I think it's worse.
Well, I mean, I would agree with you.
I would disagree.
We had our first major snowstorm, so maybe we jumped the gun when we talked about getting around in the snow.
We should have waited. That was like episode 2 or 3. So, we were doing that. So if you happen to be listening from someplace other than our fair city, we just had our first big snowstorm, and it took till January to get winter, but we got winter all in one weekend. Mm-hmm. The whole thing just showed up. It was a lot of snow.
Yeah, but it was very light snow, so it was pretty easy to shovel.
So we got hit with all this big snow this past Saturday, and so did you leave your house that day?
Like I said, I was able to get to the gym before it started, but Saturday was a write-off.
Yeah.
And so was the following Sunday, because not the following Sunday,
yeah,
but the next day.
The next day, yeah.
Because unless stuff's plowed out or shoveled, like I can't navigate the walkways, sidewalks, whatever you want to say. So
yes,
Steve and I, our nephew's, what is he, 13, and he likes to get money for his.
Why didn't he come over and do mine then?
Well, did you tell him you were gonna pay him?
He should be asking.
Uncle Steve. Actually, you're not. Are you just Steve?
No.
Or is there the uncle tag in there? Anyways,
doesn't matter. I don't know for you, but I'm just Andy.
Winter sucks. Andy is not very sure-footed, and myself being a wheelchair user.
Why don't you have a sled for the winter?
Yeah, true enough. It's good. I'd have to have a bigger dog.
How would he power the sled?
Yeah.
With his arms. Like a sledge.
There are
those,
like,
little ski attachments.
Ski runners.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And I saw, like, an extreme wheeler. That's a thing.
It is?
Yeah.
I'll Google it after the show.
Yeah, check it out.
link below.
She
the link below, yeah.
She competes in the X game, and instead of sitting in a sit ski, she just puts those little blades on her, on the front of her chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she goes down ski hills in a wheelchair.
Nice.
It's pretty crazy.
Isn't that heavier?
I would imagine it would be. Wouldn't that be extra hardware? Extra hardware.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess that's what makes it extreme. I don't
know. Oh, it's extreme. I gotcha.
That's why it's called extreme. Duh.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Anyways, we'll chat more about winter when we get to our offside moment, because I want to vent a little bit about that. But today, we want to bring some attention to something we haven't covered yet on the show. And again, thanks for all your support and going back and checking out those old episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, however you're listening to it. But we have yet to chat about sort of the invisible disability aspect. My disability, very visible. Andy's, you know, just as visible, I would think. It's, you could, when you see him swagger, you know, there's probably a reason for it. Steve is just has a beard, so that's his disability, I guess. I don't know.
I think we established last week his hair is his disability.
That's right.
Not so much his beard.
But I mean, the point there is that people see
hair.
Your beard is hair. It's
your
it's
head,
facial hair.
Head of hair.
People see our disability and they get it. And we want to sort of bring some attention to invisible disabilities and mental illness this week. And the rise of awareness towards mental illness is almost staggering. People are much more aware of it. Certainly not maybe where it could be, but I've never seen it be so prevalent in society. And we're seeing it more and more. At least we're more aware of it. I think it's always been there. Just people are more aware of it now and talking about it now, breaking down those walls and the stigma around it. So I wanted to sort of shed some light on that subject this week. Any personal experiences with that stuff, gentlemen? I know I've got some stuff that I see in the schools, and I'll talk too, but I talk too much on these things. So.
Yeah, man. There were a couple of people we played hockey with that were dealing with some stuff. And I mean, back then, what, 15, 20 years ago,
yeah,
like you said, it wasn't as prevalent. So you just kind of let people vent and hopefully come up with the right answers. And those guys were more acquired injuries as opposed to
like life-altering injuries.
Life-altering
injuries. Yes, there it is. So a lot of the guys that play the sport are born with a disability, like Andy and myself, but then certainly a lot of them as well have significant accidents that contribute to a massive change of lifestyle, and certainly a lot of depression might accompany something like that. So
I can't imagine any type of life-altering injury or condition, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I guess that's maybe why we don't, well, at least I don't. This is the only way of life I've ever known. Mm-hmm. So
I think that one of the biggest pieces that is interesting about any sort of mental illness or invisible disability is that exactly that. You can't, how do you measure it, right? How do you quantify it? How do you see evidence of it? And all of that. So thinking about my own perspective in education as a teacher, I see more and more kids now with anxiety issues. And some of it, just you could see it. It's just like crippling to the kids. I've watched kids have massive anxiety attacks and meltdowns. Not watched as in, you know, allowed it to happen, but I've seen it.
With the camera watching?
Yeah, no, but I mean, you see it, right? The other piece of that, though, and I was chatting with Andy about this as we're getting ready to talk about this week, and please, please don't misconstrue what I'm trying to get across. I realize the severity of mental illness is wide, and the people that struggle with anxiety issues, it's huge. But I also wonder, because it's not measurable, for example, if I use it in a teaching standpoint, we have these oral presentations that these kids have to do from time to time. We literally only do like one big one in a lot of our courses. And I've had kids say, I can't do it. I can't do it because I get tremendously scared and of presenting in front of an audience or in talking and this and that. And I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I try to be as accommodating as possible. If it's literally something that I can't just coach out of the kid and just encourage them in a positive environment, I generally try and get around that. I am a music educator, so I always say, if you can't perform publicly, then, I mean, music is that's part of what music is you're going to have to play an instrument or sing in public or whatever the case may be. So generally, we get around a lot of it that way. If I have to, though, I will clearly and obviously accommodate the student. I've had to have presentations done. Either you differentiate the assignment and they don't do the presentation, they do something else to display their knowledge, or I've had students that much rather prefer do it. It's just the audience that terrifies them, so they would much rather show me do their presentation during a lunch hour or something where it's just me, right? Because I have the trust with them. It's just the audience aspect that they don't like. So I wonder how much of that is.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, anxiety and nerves is part of performing, right?
Like, absolutely.
Like, if you take off your teaching hat and put on your musician hat, mm-hmm. I'm sure that you weren't always calm before performances, right?
Like, no, absolutely. And still not. I mean, any big performance, anything where there's a lot of people in the audience or... it's interesting because I have no problem performing for strangers, singing for strangers. It's when people, like, I'll never forget, for example, one of the gigs I was doing, and the gentleman that I work with, my ex-teacher, walked in and watched me perform. And I was instantly nervous because now I felt like I was being, you know, it's somebody that I had judged, held to a higher standard, is watching me. Anytime I know there's other musicians in the audience, I get more aware of that versus, you know, just entertaining for perfect strangers and things. But I think that you're absolutely right. And from a musical end of things, performance is part of it. And there should be some nerves around that, right?
So, I mean, to take it back to physical sickness, like,
yeah,
you'd have to bring in a sick note from a doctor's note,
yeah,
after a certain number of absences. Is that the...
You know what? So it would depend on... Yeah, no, and you're not wrong. It would depend...
Sorry.
A sick note, a doctor's note. Yeah, yeah. A sick note. Doctor's note. Yes.
Hey, Mr. Pilon, I'm sick.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Doctor's note.
For sure. There is definitely things around that. If a kid misses an exam, they have to have a doctor's note, for example. Mm-hmm. It's a not an excused absence. And so I imagine that if the anxiety was that bad and it was a legitimate medical reason, that of course there could be easily mm-hmm. medical documentation to prove that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to take it back to hockey or I guess sports in general, I would get nervous before. Not nervous, but anxious.
Yeah.
Right? Because we play, I know I joked before, but we played a pretty high level of hockey. Yep. So we analyze everything. We know who's on the other team.
Had to make sure that he watched Wayne Gretzky's video before every game.
Wayne Gretzky's above and beyond.
I thought it was. I was gonna say beyond and below.
Childhood memories with Steve. So he would before every game.
Before every game. Yeah, and we were at a trivia night, and there was a Wayne Gretzky question the other night, and I was like, I should know this
because of my stupid brother and his pregame video. Mm-hmm. I remember 100% you being anxious before games. Mm-hmm. You get really quiet before games. Kind of don't talk to me. I've always been a loudmouth, as you can clearly tell. I would be talking in the room and.
Yeah, man. I mean. We practice at least once a week, right? So we'd be going over game plans and everybody would be getting amped up. But in my mind, I guess, you should know the game plan before 5 minutes.
Now's not the time.
Right? Well, that's my mind at least. So we've discussed already my role was very different than most of the other people, right? So...
most any other people than everybody else.
That's true.
Oh, I mean, yeah, for sure. So, I get it, but I think anxiety and nerves are a very different thing.
Yeah, well, and that's what I mean. And again, I'm not trying to. Mm-hmm. Again, please. I hope it doesn't get misinterpreted. Although it's the internet, so mm-hmm. you know, maybe it will. I'm just wondering. Again. Devil's advocate, if you will, but does it get used as an excuse? I'm positive that it does get used as an excuse.
Oh yeah, but then you probably have to figure out from there, is there testing, right?
Yes. Like, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and then you figure it out from there to say, because it could very well be
100% what it is. And the first thing that I will do as an educator is I'll go and look to see if there is an IEP in place, paperwork, individual education plan, paperwork to prove it, a medical plan in place to. Mm-hmm. You know, allow for a combination of assessments and things like that. The other one that I came across literally just this week, we're in the middle of exams in secondary school, and one of the things that I just came across as I was modifying an exam for a student, because, you know, if there is that IEP in place, you can do that, and you're well within your, you know, your rights and limits to, obviously, the student needs accommodations. What kind of wonderful kid who is a brilliant drummer and has been one of my absolute superstars in class all semester, who has a learning disability. Again, a completely invisible disability that I would know nothing about if I wasn't privy to looking through that IEP and seeing that information. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a tough one because, again, you look at an outward disability and you get it. But this is a wonderful kid who literally, you'll be given a lesson, and this kid just looks like he gets it. He just 100%, mm-hmm. you know, and he's learned maybe how to look like he gets it because there's shame around saying, I don't get it, yeah. and I won't, mm-hmm. I can't, because I lack the, you know, like I have a legitimate mm-hmm. reason that I cannot understand this. Mm-hmm. So he's really good at smiling and nodding and, you know, and then in private, I'll say, how was that stuff? And he'll tell me, he goes, mm-hmm. I don't get it at all. Right? And so that's another one. I mean, he's a kid that he did great on my final exam. I had to modify mm-hmm. the final exam for him so that he could succeed at it, so that he could demonstrate yeah. his learning. But it was clearly there. Yep. But it's just funny because there's that, again, that stigma mm-hmm. of I can't.
There's
and I
only
can't.
One way of learning.
That's right. Yeah. Right? And I can't talk about this because a learning disability will be perceived as I'm stupid. And that's not mm-hmm. the case at all. Right?
Yeah.
It's funny you say, like, kids with special needs, they have files, right?
Yeah.
And I remember when I went into high school, one of the courses you have to take at least for a year is French.
Mm-hmm.
And
en français.
My first written assignment I handed in, like, the teacher, I think she gave me, like, 10% Like, she
thought... Period? Like, that's what you earned?
Yeah, like, she thought she was being generous by giving me 10%.
And
she,
you get a 10.
There was a note on the file saying, we, like, come see me after class. And so I did, and she's like, your handwriting is horrible. And so, again, like, part of my disability and my fine motor skills aren't good. So she would have looked at that file. She would have known that. It, like we said last week, my mom doesn't get worked up very much. But when I went home and told her what happened, she was out of school the next day. So that's just triggered that.
It just goes to show you, too, I mean, how much more aware we are of all that stuff. And not maybe not how ignorant, but how oblivious some people are. Like, I mean, I would look at you, but, I mean, I've got CP. I'd look at you. Like, I could spot it. I'm like, that kid's got CP. And therefore, and I because I live it, I know about the fine motor. My penmanship sucks for that very reason, too, right? Yeah. I type everything as an educator. I love it. And my students actually... love it too.
What that
I type
your guitar in. Playing skills?
Yeah, good question. I probably shouldn't succeed as a guitar player, given that I have.
So does that just mean that you're not trying hard enough?
Yes. I can write it. I can. That's why Steve is here, ladies and gentlemen. Devil's advocate. That's why we brought Steve in. No, you know what? Guitar playing poses its challenges for me as well, but it's actually, I suppose, been a little bit therapeutic. I literally remember a conversation when I started playing at 13 years old. That my parents were having them sitting down with somebody. I couldn't tell you who it was, but they said this will be good for him, be good for his fine motor, good for his hands, everything else. But it's funny that teacher was like, "Ah, your writing just sucks," without even like no, you know, probably just thinking you're being lazy, not trying hard enough.
Right. Well, my sister had her, and she excelled in the class, so I guess.
That's a double because teachers are bad with that all the time.
Yeah, and then that's why I got that.
But you're so and so's brother. You should be good at this stuff.
So they were both ahead of me. So they said.
So you just they had zero expectations for you, right? Being the last one.
But anyways, it just reminded me of that. I wanted to talk a little bit about too. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. We tossed around the ideas a little bit before we started recording, but I had a former coworker. I don't even know what it was. We were shooting the breeze, whatever, and it came up that he has Crohn's disease.
Yeah.
And he, some days are really bad. Through the course of the conversation, and I don't know if he just felt comfortable asking, he was like, so how many times have you tried to commit suicide? The thing that kind of struck me was not that he asked the question, have you ever thought about suicide, but... How many times?
That would catch me off guard. When you told me that on the phone, and we don't plan this because the last thing I wanted to do is sound scripted, but we do talk about what we might want to talk about this week. And
how come I don't get called?
Because you don't matter, Steve.
Okay. Well, it's just a piece of technology that we'd have to do a three-way call.
It's overrated.
One more step.
I mean, yeah, wow. I mean, it's crazy that he verbalized that. Not only, obviously, clearly it was like commonplace for him, but to ask you, how many times? Not if, right?
Yeah.
And or I mean, not have you ever.
I mean, yeah. I know a couple people with Crohn's, and it would never strike me to be
that bad.
That bad, right?
Yeah.
But again, that speaks to everybody's disability is their own, and it's everybody's different, right?
So, yes. I can't even fathom or relate to having to have been in that kind of a place where you consider ending it. But I think obviously everybody's battle is their own. But to have it be that real for him, yeah, it must have been it must have really, really changed his life on a much deeper level than we can probably understand.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and so much so that when I said I honestly never thought about it.
Yeah, he was surprised.
Yeah, he was like, come on, it's just you and me here. Let's be honest. Right? And like, so.
Wow.
I don't know. I think we've been fortunate in that, again, this is all I've ever known, right?
So. Yeah, no, absolutely. There is huge value in that. Whenever I get asked about my positive outlook on life or people make a comment, that's one of the first things I'm always able to credit, is the fact that this is the, you know, use the metaphor that you want, the hand we were dealt, or the way we were born, or however, but I mean, this is what we know as life. Yeah. And this is how we deal, because it's all we know how to do. And we haven't seen the quote unquote other side. And that's where we're able to, you know, perhaps get our optimism from. But yes, certainly, again, the issues for whoever they are and whatever they're going through, those are very, very real issues. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, just we're trying to be as real as possible and bring light to multiple topics and not have this be a cerebral palsy podcast, but a podcast where we're just trying to tackle some different issues. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I just thought that was very relevant to what we're talking about today. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because I work one of my coworkers. I don't know. I think he has dyslexia.
Yes, there you go. Another invisible one.
But it's a funny story. He was taking a CFQ, which is what you have to take after you do electrical or any trade in order to get credited to the next level.
Yes.
And so he could say, "Well, I have this, so I need to be in a separate room from everybody else." And he had his cell phone, so he tried to cheat, but he still lost. He still failed multiple times.
He still failed multiple times. Yeah, so in that case, then, and again, and this is what, maybe what we're trying to, again, just be as real as possible. People do use it as an excuse. They do sometimes, use it to get what they can out of it. I joke around about, you know, the sweet parking and stuff that we have. But, I mean, I wouldn't ever want to use my disability to gain an advantage over somebody else. And it does happen. Mm-hmm. Clearly that gentleman had a very legitimate learning disability in dyslexia, mm-hmm. but tried to use it to be able to cheat. And karma caught up to him, I guess, and you failed three times. So
Or you couldn't read the screen.
And, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's funny, man. Yeah. And again, just proves that people will do it, right? People will do it. And sometimes we don't think they will, right? You think it's too much, like we put mm-hmm. it, and, you know, that's below them, or they won't, but I think if they can, they will.
This week for Offside, as you alluded to, I'm just going to give you the mic.
Yeah.
And let you vent a little bit.
Listen, yeah, here it is. And I mean, you guys, we can sugarcoat it all you want. I laugh about it. Winter sucks. I hate the winter. I joked with my children this week. I said, "You guys, man, I know you love the snow. You like to go out and play and have your fun in the snow and build your little snowman." But I said, "I could be 100% fine. I love Canada and I would never leave it, but I would be 100% fine living in a tropical climate for the rest of my life because I just hate snow." Here's my thing is we had, and this is where I get for the offside, right? We've got legislation in place for snow removal and however long it's supposed to take you to shovel your snow, right? Man, getting around in the snow as a wheelchair user absolutely sucks. And if you're listening to this as a wheelchair user, you know exactly what I'm talking about. First of all, you got to wait for people to clear their snow. Then there's the people that don't clear their snow. Then there is always the curbed areas of the sidewalk that are not shoveled out. So even if your sidewalk is clear, you still can't cross a street. And it was just absolutely disastrous yesterday. So it's been warming up, and we talked about that. It's starting to be turned into this slushy stuff now that's much heavier. Yesterday, I get off the bus to come home from work. I get off the bus less than two blocks from my house. Yesterday, it took me 16 minutes to get home that block and a half because of, like, four people that hadn't shoveled.
Can't you go on the road?
Yeah, what do you do? Like, do you wait for traffic to clear and then you go?
Well, I mean, I have. And in this particular instance, I thought my route was clear. I took an extra bus to make sure that the bulk of my wheeling was done for me by the bus. I got off the bus at a spot I knew would be shoveled out, a main intersection. Mm-hmm. I looked at it. I eyeballed it. I thought, yep, it's clear. I got halfway down that way, and then there's this big snowbank. It's right, like, this not snowbank, but these three people that hadn't... people that just hadn't shoveled, or their area hadn't been cleared. So now I'm turning around and going back exactly the same way that I came, looking for a new path.
Yeah.
So after the second path failed... I was like, screw it. And I jumped on the road, and I didn't actually physically jump. But again, you look for a place where you can enter onto the road, which is tough in itself because there's always
dangerous too,
slush right? around there. Yeah. And now I'm on the road. And in this particular instance, no one was mad about that. Mm-hmm. I've literally had cars honk at me because I'm on the road, because I can't be on the sidewalk. And I get it. I'm slowing down cars. I'm not fast
when
I'm
trucking on the road. The bumper.
Just hitch a ride.
Excuse me, sir. Go ahead and I'll just grab on.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I get it. I get that I'm slowing down traffic. I do, right? Yeah. But I also know I can't get up on this sidewalk. And
also, why don't you get out and help them?
Right.
Like the person driving. Yes. I've done that before.
Have you? Good for you, Steven. And the flip side is, once you find a place to jump onto the road, you're committed. Because now once you're on the road, you're not getting back on the sidewalk unless you find another shoveled out area.
Yeah, man. When I was training for Road to Hope, I wheeled throughout the winter. And exactly what you're saying. I'd be booting on along at a really good pace, and then there'd be one person that doesn't do it.
Yeah, man. And like the caveat to that, and to just
add on. Isn't that good for training though?
Again, I'm in a ranty type mood. But like, don't, and I'm speaking to the world, okay? The quote unquote normal world, the stand up able bodied world. Don't just shovel your snow to the end of your driveway so that you can get your car out. That helps no one, okay? And well, it's not just me as a chair user. It's wheelchair stroll. It's strollers, buggies, everything that literally can't just
it's even walking.
Step over it. Yeah.
It's so, okay.
You have to step up and over it. It's up to your knees.
What's the mandate? So it's 24 hours?
Is it? I haven't. I admittedly, internet, I'm sorry. I didn't do my research before I started my vent session. Business. 24 hours, I think, right? You have 24 hours after a significant snowfall to clear your, in front of your living space.
So my question then is, you obviously have your cell phone with you.
Yes.
Do you take a picture of the address?
And that's next level. Maybe I should start.
Like, is that a dick move?
Post it on maybe it is a dick move, but I'm prepared after this week. Like, guess what? Facebook, check out this guy.
Not Facebook. Email that to the city.
Oh. Yeah. I thought you just wanted me to put it on Facebook and let the internet judge them. That's way worse.
Well, there's no way to tag them.
Is it worse?
Because then you could make the best kind of comments. You could be, everybody could think that you were this big online jerk without knowing you in person.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because that never happened.
Okay, so you're suggesting take a photo with the address, the street sign, the address visible, send it to the city, and then get their ass fined. Is that what you just...
Why do you have to
take a picture? I guess there's a fine. I don't know.
No, there is a fine.
Is there?
Yeah. Well, no, there's a warning, and then there's a... They come and... I think the city comes and does it, and you just have to pay
to have it done. Nice. I like that. I don't know what the answer is there. Listen, and again, forgive me for being mad about it. If you're one of those people, listen, world, just be a great place. Just think of people that have to wheel through that stuff. Just help. Just be awesome. Let's just be awesome, internet.
Do you take advantage of snow?
I do not. Yes, I have. I'm a salaried teacher with access to sick days. I've never used a sick day because of the snow, and I will never use a sick day because of the snow. That seems like a great place to end it before I get myself in trouble. Listen, internet, thanks so much for listening to Chad, Andy, and Steve. Another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. Thanks a lot. Cheers.